Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When Adam and Eve sinned, the paradise of Eden turned sour, and man's fate was sealed. Life would be hard, and were it not for the grace of a redeeming God, there would have been no hope for our rebellious race. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on making the best of a bad decision, Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk more about the worst decision ever made, as recorded in Genesis chapter 2.
Well, this is a series of messages on making the best of a bad decision. So why should our lives be changed because of what I've told you so far? Let me give you some lessons and some understandings that I hope will help you in your need. First of all, it's clear that God begins where we are and not where we wish we were. I'm going to say it again. God begins with where we are and not where we wish we were. God is going to begin to work in Adam and Eve's life, but no longer in paradise. He's going to begin his work right where they are. There is no return to paradise. There's no return to innocence. Some time ago, I was riding on a plane and sitting next to a young woman who began to tell me her story. She told me, she said, "You know, I'm pregnant and I'm on my way to visit my sister to get my head together to know whether or not I should marry the father of my child." So we talked possibly an hour. Her pastor thought that she should marry the young man. I, of course, had no special insight at all, because oftentimes those marriages do not work out very well. But, of course, I didn't know her, nor do I know the young man. But then she said this. She said, "I wish that he would marry me for all of the right reasons and not just because I'm pregnant." And I thought, I understand what you're saying, young lady, but you know what? There's no return to paradise. There's no return to innocence. I say to you today, there's no return to your virginity once it has been lost. Can't get back there. Today I speak to somebody who says, "Well, you know, I made this huge mistake marrying the person I did." And by the way, the third message in this series is going to be on living with a foolish vow. You might want to bring your friends to that as well. But I can imagine somebody saying, "Well, you know, I just made a mistake." Well, yeah, you made a mistake. Adam and Eve made a mistake. But you know what? You can't undo what you've done. You can't go back to paradise. You can't go back to innocence. And what does God do? He begins to work right where we are and not where we wish we were. Can't go back to those teenage years when you could have made all the right decisions. Too late for that. Here you are today with all kinds of histories you wish that you could change, but you can't change them. But God comes to us right in the middle of our dilemma, right in the pain of life, facing all of those wrong decisions. And God says, "I'm going to begin where you are at." And that's why everyone listening to this message, God wants to begin in your life exactly where you are. Paradise is close to you. Secondly, God begins with restoring fellowship. Very important. God begins with restoring fellowship, not canceling the consequences. He begins by restoring the fellowship and not canceling the consequences. The consequences of their sin is just going to boomerang. They touched a series of dominoes, and those dominoes are going to fall, and they're still falling today in my life and yours. But God says, "I want to restore fellowship, and we'll deal with the consequences later. They will not be canceled." Wow. This is tough stuff. Here's Adam and Eve, you know, when they were clothed now with these skins and garments, God says, now that you're properly dressed, I can walk with you again in the cool of the day. We can have fellowship now because your sin and shame is covered, but the consequences are going to go on in your family. Just imagine Eve, she gives birth to a little baby boy, and they look at this little baby, and she says, oh, you know, he looks just like I do. And Adam looks at him and says, oh, you know, when he smiles, he looks like I do. Of course, they really didn't know how they looked since they didn't have mirrors. But we can imagine all of this is going on, and she nurses him, and she thinks, this precious little boy. In fact, she says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. God gave me this son. And they call him Cain. And Cain grows up and murders his brother Abel. Talk about the quintessential example of a dysfunctional family. It's not a new idea, new word maybe, but not a new idea. Yes, Abel is a righteous man because he offers the proper sacrifice. It's a blood sacrifice. Cain gives the fruit of the ground. It's something like, here are my fig leaves, Lord. God rejects Cain and God accepts Abel, and the jealousy becomes a torment for Cain, and he kills his brother. And he's the kind of guy who kills his brother, leaves him dying along the side of the road, walks away, and then feels sorry for himself. And there are still people like that right now living. And some of you know people just like that. They can stab you, walk away, and then feel sorry for themselves. All there, the text. But God says, in the midst of this failure, you and Adam, to Eve, he says, and to Adam, you, the two of you, can walk with me in the midst of the curse, in the midst of the mistakes, and through it all, you will see my loving hand. Well, there's another lesson, and that is that God begins, and I don't know exactly how to phrase this. I was working on it even this morning to get it right. After I talk about it, I think you'll understand what I mean. But God begins by working now also through the consequences. Or we could say that God begins long term. That's one of the ideas I had in my mind. God works within the situation. Maybe that's the best way to put it. He works within the situation and not from outside the situation. And all throughout history, what you're going to see now is this conflict. There's going to be the curse, there's going to be the sin, and alongside of it, there's always going to be grace, and there's also going to be mercy, and there's also going to be triumph, and the two are going to march through all the pages of history. And God says, rather than exempting you from the consequences, I will help you in the midst of those consequences to develop within you things that you couldn't experience if I simply kept taking you out of your predicament. We think, for example, of young women sometimes pressured into having an abortion by a husband, by parents, by boyfriend. You know, we made this mistake. Let's just take care of it, okay? We don't want the sin. We don't want the shame. We don't want anybody to know. Just go and take care of it. Get us out of this situation. I think, for example, of a man by the name of Felix Manz. Felix Manz is somewhat of a hero of mine because he was willing to die for his faith way back in the 1600s in Switzerland. On five or six occasions, I've stood at the Rathaus in Zurich where the drowning occurred, and the river, the Lamotte River, runs right there. And what they did is they tied his hands like this, and then they shoved him out on a little boat, and they made it capsize, and the voice of his mother was heard above the waves, urging her son to remain true to the faith. And by the way, what was he dying for? He believed that one should be baptized upon profession of faith rather than infant baptism. And the Zurich City Council says that anyone who believes that has to be drowned either by fire or killed with a sword. We take religious freedom for granted, don't we? That's what it cost in those days for your convictions. Why do I mention him? Well, I'm sure that if he had been born in our generation or conceived in our generation, he might have been aborted because he was conceived out of wedlock. lived with a lot of shame in those days. But he's a hero of mine. I could stand here today and I could tell you stories of people whom you know who are in Christian service today, who are people who were conceived out of wedlock. And what God does in the midst of sin and the curse and mistakes and regret and challenges, alongside all of that, there is mercy and there is grace and there is forgiveness and there is help and there is taking our messes and turning them into something beautiful. God's been doing that ever since Adam and Eve were in existence. And the same God who helped them is the God who helps us. You're here today and you say, I have a bad marriage. Where's the escape hatch? What are the requirements for me to get out of this? God may be saying to you, you know what? I want you to stay where you are. Now, of course, as you've heard me say many times, if there's abuse, go get help. But still, at the same time, what God says is, rather than exempting you from the consequences, I'm going to work in and through and in spite of and against the consequences, and my purposes shall be accomplished in your life in a way that you could not possibly predict. Because the God of Adam and Eve is our God, and he can help you right where you are with everything that you've brought to this service today. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that in your grace and in your love you have saved us. We thank you that sin, all of its horridness, is neither a surprise to you, nor are you inadequate to be able to deal with it. In this series of messages, would you grant us the faith and the grace and the strength to believe that you are here right where we are seated? Someone driving a car listening to this. Someone sitting in their home listening. Right where we are, there is where your grace comes. Help us to receive it, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. If you needed that message today, I want to encourage you to let your friends know about Running to Win and encourage them to listen too as the series continues, Making the Best of a Bad Decision. And in a moment, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. I can imagine that you will listen to them and then pass them along to those who perhaps have given up hope. Because above all things, God is a God of hope. And in the midst of our situation, in the midst of our bad decisions, he is there for us. And if we've been a blessing to you, please let us know. You've trusted Christ as Savior as a result of this ministry. We are deeply encouraged when we hear from you.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Worst Decision Ever Made, the first of seven messages on making the best of a bad decision. Ever wish you could have a do-over? Next time, what you can learn when you choose the second best. Making the Best of a Bad Decision can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.